Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mastrodonato, Boston Herald Red Sox columnist and longtime sports reporter in Boston. My co-host today is, as always, Lauren Campbell, Nesson sports reporter for a long time. So we are excited to talk to you today about the Red Sox. They just got swept in New York. It was not pretty. Probably the play of the game and the thing that we will talk about involves Anthony Rizzo. We have a offense that is getting worse and worse and not listening to what Alex Cora is saying. We've got some interesting comments from Nick Pivetta and Hunter Renfroe after the game, some lineups that are confusing, so there's a lot to get to. Today's episode is brought to you by the Locked On MLB podcast. It's a great podcast. Check it out if you haven't already, the Locked On MLB podcast. All right, Lauren, well, the Red Sox took a 5-2 loss on Wednesday night. They're swept out of New York. I could hear Frank Sinatra in my head as if I was sitting in Yankee Stadium and they're singing New York, New York as the Yankees fans are taunting the Red Sox out of the city as they head home for a much-needed off day on Thursday. But this is the low point for the season. I don't think there's any question. There's six games back of the first-place Tampa Bay Rays. That's the furthest back the Red Sox have been all year. They're now out of the wild card. Actually, I didn't see if the Red Sox or if the Oakland A's lost. The A's did lose, so the Red Sox are tied with the A's for the second wild card spot, although the Sox are technically behind them in winning percentage. So if the season ended today, the Red Sox would not be a playoff team. This is rock bottom for them. What are you feeling?
I'm not feeling good. Whatever I'm feeling is not good. And it's hard to feel good. It's hard to feel kind of any kind of positivity toward this team right now when the offense just cannot get anything going. You have the tying run at the plate in the ninth inning. Nothing happened. You're leaving men on base left and right. And for once, I'm concerned about the offense. It's not so much I'm even concerned with the pitching anymore.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get to all that. I'm glad you brought it up. I think we have to start the show today, though, with, I know we hate to do it, and people get mad at me on Twitter, but we got to go back to the trade deadline. We have to. It's inevitable. When Anthony Rizzo comes off the COVID list, you know, he says he's not even back to 100%. I mean, the guy just looks sick out there. He lost a whole lot of weight. He comes off the COVID list, and he's still better than anyone the Red Sox have. I mean, he had two RBIs on a pretty routine ground ball right down the first baseline that Bobby Dalbec should have got. I mean, it was a pretty routine play, I thought. Like, it wasn't like a bad hop. It looked like a pretty standard play. Dalbec just couldn't get his body in front of it. He stabs at it, goes off his glove, bounces behind him, and there it is. You're looking at the guy the Red Sox were supposed to trade for to play first base, driving in two runs off of the guy who has been, by most accounts, terrible at first base all year. I don't know about terrible. I don't think he's a good defender there. I think he's okay. He's certainly not experienced there, and it's shown. Meanwhile, not only did Rizzo drive in two runs, but I thought he made some great plays over at first base, including the last out of the game where Andrew Velasquez had to throw out Kevin Plawecki from the hole over at shortstop, and Rizzo made a really smart move not to lean forward and try to stretch for the ball, but rather to keep himself back in position to let the ball bounce and catch it on the bounce. He's just a great player, and the Red Sox messed up. They don't have a real first baseman. Kyle Schwarber didn't even play in this game. Is it fair to keep talking about this?
Of course it is, because they didn't address the needs at the trade deadline. The Red Sox did not get the help they so desperately needed. And you're seeing it with Anthony Rizzo. He certainly could have helped your team. I mean, he's coming off the COVID list and he looks good for a guy who just had COVID. I know he still looks sick, but I mean, he's making plays, he's getting runs, and he's doing what he should be doing for the Red Sox, but instead he's doing it for the Yankees. And yeah, I think this was a deadline we will look back on, whether it's next year, whether it's 2023, and just saying that it was a botched deadline. And it's not that Kyle Schwarber was a bad pickup. It was just unneeded. It was unnecessary when Anthony Rizzo certainly was somebody who you could get. The Red Sox absolutely could have gotten Rizzo. There was much more relief help, too, they could have gotten, but that's a different story for another day. It just comes down to the Red Sox knew what they needed to get for help. It didn't get addressed, and they're reaping what they sow, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if it is a story for another day. I think it's a story for today and probably many days ahead, because you're right. I mean, they didn't get the relief help they needed. Hansel Robles has not been very good. Austin Davis has been unusable, in my opinion. And Kyle Schwarber didn't even play. He's yet to play the field. JD Martinez on Tuesday started both games of a doubleheader in the outfield for the first time since he was a 20-something-year-old. He's 33 now. It hasn't happened in years. And they've got him running out there for both games of a doubleheader in right field. Then he comes out on Wednesday, again playing right field. Schwarber's not even playing. They wanted to get Kevin Plawecki in as the DH, which, I mean, I guess you understand. He's one of their better hitters over the last month. I don't know why he couldn't just start a catcher, but they wanted Christian Vasquez to call the game, I guess. And Kyle Schwarber couldn't play, I guess, because they're trying to be careful with him after the hamstring injury, and he played both games on Tuesday. I don't know. This is where they're at right now, and you could make the argument, Lauren, that they're actually a worse team since the trade deadline, that they got worse, not better, because now they have two DHs they're trying to squeeze into their lineup and two relievers who have not gotten outs for them that are taking up roster spots. I don't know. It feels like a broken record, but the way that they're playing right now, Chaim Bloom's going to get a lot of heat.
He absolutely is. And at this point, I feel like he should. I know that it's only, his second trade deadline. But the problem is it's not like 2020 when it was weird with COVID and the Red Sox were not that good anyway. But the Red Sox were so good going into the trade deadline. They were in first place. They were in control of the AL East. They just needed one or two more pieces, and they got the wrong pieces. It's like they're trying to fit the wrong puzzle pieces into a completed puzzle, and nothing seems to be working. And Chaim Bloom, I believe anyway, definitely deserves a lot of heat. I mean, you can only put so much blame on Alex Cora. You can only put so much blame on the players, because they're doing what they can with what they have in front of them, and they didn't get the help they needed. And that's not on Alex Cora. That's on Chaim Bloom.
You know, I'm reading this quote right now from Jameson Taillon, the Yankees starting pitcher, and this is on July 29th, the day after the Yankees got Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo. And by the way, the Anthony Rizzo trade came 5 hours before the Red Sox traded for Kyle Schwarber. So if you're wondering how that went down, I mean, we'll never know. We weren't in the boardrooms, but it was 5 hours later, and the Red Sox were largely connected to Rizzo. And all of a sudden, the Yankees, out of nowhere, they were not expected to get him, especially after addressing their need for a left-handed bat and getting Joey Gallo the day before. They did not need Rizzo. And if you look at it, they have Luke Voit, who's actually a pretty good hitting first baseman. He was an MVP candidate last year to play first base. They don't even need Anthony Rizzo. And they went out and traded two of their better prospects for him. So here, the quote from Jameson Taillon that day is, "From management, it just shows that they believe in this team. We've obviously been through some adversity so far. We've had our ups and downs, but it lets us know that they believe in the group we have and that we're a piece or two away from making a nice run here. That part of it's exciting. Everybody was talking about it last night. There was a buzz in the clubhouse." Now, I mean, this is what the Red Sox don't have. You know, Alex Cora said the Red Sox clubhouse was silent after the game on Wednesday night. And I understand they just got swept. Of course, it's not going to be a great feeling in there. But I don't know if we're overestimating the impact of what happened in the clubhouse. Maybe, you know, if the Red Sox couldn't win without getting some belief from their front office, were they going to win anyways? Like, you can make all these different arguments. But I think the fact is Brian Cashman had a much better trade deadline than Chaim Bloom. And I don't know how you could argue otherwise.
I don't think you can. I think that the proof is, I mean, in the people that were acquired by both teams, I think the proof is in the record right now as of August 18th, August 19th from the trade deadline. I think that it's all pointing to the Yankees having a very successful trade deadline. And now they're the better team and they're very competitive. And, you know, they were finding ways, they were still a very scrappy team. I never felt, I think you and I discussed this, we never felt Aaron Boone really lost that team. And now it's like he has a whole new life. He's got healthy players. He still has players coming back. And now that the Yankees are in playoff contention, that's very, very dangerous because now they're even more motivated than before. They're the ones in control of that of second place. And the Red Sox now need to fight their way back. It won't be easy. Yes, they're only a game behind the Yankees, but that's still a spot that they need to fight and scrap for until the end of the season. And it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy because the Red Sox can't win. They can't win games. The offense is really struggling right now. And I just feel like when the offense is struggling, the pitching is on. And when the pitching's on, the offense is struggling. And they just can't seem to get on the same page. And it's starting to get ugly.
Yeah. Here's another quote from Gerrit Cole the day the Yankees got Rizzo and Gallo. He says, "Part of the reason why I signed here is because Hal Steinbrenner always goes for it, and so does Brian Cashman." And you look at the Red Sox and you say, there was a time when they did that. And obviously you can't do that every year. Even the Yankees have spent years where they don't. But these are two similar ball clubs. One of them went for it. One of them didn't. And we're seeing what happened. So we've got more to talk about. We're going to talk about the offense. We're going to talk about some quotes from the players after Wednesday's game coming up in the next segment. We are brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions from folks at the auto parts store and wait while the person behind the counter is ordering the parts on their computer, doing the same thing that you could be doing from home by yourself? You have computers with access to rockauto.com. You can use them right now. Save time and money with Rock Auto. Save up to 100% for the same parts from chain stores or car dealerships. I'm going to the car dealership. Actually, tomorrow, I've got to get my oil changed. And thankfully, I found a friend to bring me because I don't enjoy being in car dealerships. So don't go to a car dealership for your auto parts. Rock Auto's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. It's a family business. The prices are low. Make sure you write down "locked on" if you go online and you buy anything from Rock Auto in the part where it says, "How did you hear about us?" Write "locked on" so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, rockauto.com. We're also brought to you by Wild Alaskan. We all know we should be eating more fish, getting our omega-3s in protein. You don't want to go to the store and get the seafood, look through the seafood counter, trying to see what you want to buy, what's fresh, who knows. It's hard to tell. There's so many different fishes in there. I don't even know what to eat anymore. Don't make the decisions. Have Wild Alaskan make them for you. The company delivers high quality, sustainably sourced, wild caught seafood right to your door. You can choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination, but they'll pretty much just put it in there for you. And every month, there are different specials. So each shipment will contain some premium wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare. It's easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. All right, there were three at-bats that really stood out to me on Wednesday night. The first one was in the third inning. Kike Hernandez is up, two outs against Andrew Haney. He gets a fastball right down the middle. Strike one, doesn't even swing. And it's so weird to see Kike Hernandez doing that. I mean, this is an aggressive player. Doesn't swing at a fastball right down the middle. So he's clearly hunting something else up there. Doesn't see it, lets it go. Then he gets strike two on him. The third pitch is a curveball that's like 3 feet beneath the zone. I think it spiked in the dirt. And he swung and lost the grip of his bat. It like flew behind him. He basically did like a 360 degree turn and dropped his helmet. And it was just a terrible at bat. Then you're looking at the sixth inning. Big spot in the game. Hernandez actually drew a walk. Hunter Renfroe works the count 3-2. Change up about a foot outside the zone. He swings at that one and throws his bat at the ball. Pops it up to right field. And then in the ninth inning, all the Red Sox need from Rafael Devers is to just reach base. Renfroe had homered. Bogarts had walked. If Devers reached base, JD Martinez was the tying run in the ninth. Devers sees three pitches from Aroldis Chapman, swings at three of them. Not a single one of them was in the strike zone, and Devers makes an out. This is who the Red Sox are, Lauren. This is who they've been for a long time now, and Alex Cora can't seem to do anything about it.
It's really disheartening, and for me, I know after every postgame, Alex Cora always tries to seem upbeat, and I felt on Wednesday, he just seemed defeated, a little deflated. He still tried to make a couple jokes, tried to laugh off a few of his answers, but overall, I just felt it was almost like he was like, I'm done, white flag. I know we lost. We got beat in every aspect. It just sucks. And this was the first time I ever thought, at least this season, Alex Cora sounded, not that he was throwing in the towel, but that he was just tired and that he knows that this team needed help. He can only do so much with the guys in front of him. He can only shuffle the lineup so much. And he's doing what he can. He's doing the best he can. And it really sucks at the same time when this is a good team and they're just getting beat by, I mean, obviously good teams, but you sweep the Orioles, okay, bad team, whatever. But that's the time when they're supposed to build this momentum and go into a big run, especially against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot against them. And yeah, if this is who they are, this is going to be a long, long, long 39, 38 games left.
I mean, this is who they've been, right? I mean, even on the entire season, they rank dead last in chase percentage. They're swinging at pitches outside of the zone 31% of the time. It's the worst rate among all 30 teams. Their contact rate, as we've talked about, one of the worst in the game. This is why they needed Anthony Rizzo. This is why they needed any first baseman who could handle the position and make contact. They didn't get one. They got Kyle Schwarber, who cannot play first base and still has not appeared in a game on defense. And there are 39 games left, and that has not happened yet. So you do feel for Cora. It seems like he's saying everything. He's been saying it all year. It just control the strike zone. Take your walks, guys. Stop swinging at junk. Hunter Renfroe even had an interesting quote after the game where he said they were talking about this before the game. They had a talk before the game. They said, we just need to be smarter. We need to have smarter decisions up there. And they didn't. There was a few nice at-bats, especially in the ninth inning. You know, Aroldis Chapman was getting pretty wild. Bogarts had a good at-bat to work a walk. Renfroe homered off him. For the most part, this is the same team that they've been for weeks, just swinging at junk. And the interesting thing about Andrew Haney, the way he pitched this game, is he hasn't had a good game in weeks. He hasn't had a game where he held a team to two hits or fewer over seven innings in 4 years. Until he did it to the Red Sox on Wednesday. And Cora said he pitched totally differently than he has been. And this is what's happening. I think pitchers are seeing the way the Red Sox are swinging the bats, and they're taking advantage of them. And I just don't understand why. Like, I understand it's a difficult game. You know, you're not just going to do everything that your manager tells you to. But I think you do kind of feel for Cora at this point, and you wonder, what's going on with the hitting coaches? Like, how come they're not getting through to these guys?
And it really makes me wonder, too, you mentioned there were some, you know, bad at-bats. J.D. Martinez is, I think Eck calls them funky swings. I think that's just being nice. These swings are just, I've never seen J.D. Martinez take these kinds of swings. And this is a guy who prides himself on being a trained hitter. This is a guy who watches his batting practice, who watches his at-bat from the previous inning and studies what he does wrong. And if he's going back and watching it, he's going to see a lot of what he's doing wrong right now. And he just can't seem to get out of his own head. He can't get out of his own way. I don't know what's going on there, but that is somebody the Red Sox needs to figure it out. And he needs to stop swinging at junk. Like you said, they're swinging at everything. Just have a little bit of patience. I know they're frustrated. It's easy for me to say, I'm not a professional ball player, but they need to stop taking these dumb swings.
Yeah, and you wonder, I mean, you hope JD's okay, because there was a play in right field. This is what happens when you leave your DH in right field for a couple days in a row. That he didn't make a play in right field. It was a sliding catch he tried to make. I think the ball went in and then out of his glove. His wrist hit the ground, and you could just see half of his weight kind of on his wrist, and it kind of bends, and you're like, man, how many times have we seen, you know, a guy who doesn't play a whole lot of the outfield get out there, try to make a diving catch or a sliding catch, and just puts way too much weight on his wrist. So we'll see how that goes in the coming days. He stayed in the game. I think he had a single off Chapman in the ninth.
That's a big boy, though. That's a lot of weight to come down on the wrist. Like, that is, JD is not a small person.
Yeah, good point. You know, 6'3", 230-pound man there falling on his wrist. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as well. All right, coming up, we have our unpopular opinions. We always end the show on a positive note, so stick around for the third segment. We're brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. As of Wednesday morning, there were 10 teams that had better odds than the Red Sox to win the World Series. It's not looking good for them statistically. Even the Braves and the Blue Jays at this point have surpassed the Red Sox, according to the Las Vegas odds. So if you're looking at this, if this is your kind of thing, go to BetOnline and check it out. They've got all the latest news, the odds, and information for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, UFC, MMA, golf, soccer, whatever it is. You can find it at BetOnline. You can use your laptop. You can use your phone. Check out what they've got going on over there. Right now, you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So go to BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Welcome back for the third segment, our favorite segment, Unpopular Opinions and Positive Takeaways. Lauren, you've got an interesting unpopular opinion today.
I do, and it's one that has nothing to do with the bullpen for once, but I truly believe that JD Martinez should never play the outfield again. And this stems from him not being able to make plays in the last couple of games, not maybe a potential injury, not even an injury, but just a wrist issue that could linger on for the rest of the season. And I think in 2019, it may have been 2018, in Detroit, I believe, he went full force into the wall in the outfield. And I remember Alex Cora, like, I think it was his back afterwards, and they kept talking to Alex Cora, like, when's he coming back? And he's like, oh, you know, someone his size runs full force into a wall, so he's not going to feel good. And I was like, okay, freak accidents happen. I get it. Like, you're running, you want to make the play. But I don't know if I'm scarred from, like, Blake Swihart when they threw him in the outfield. Totally different situation because he was a catcher and then his ankle, and then I don't even know what he's doing these days. But I'm done with the JD experiment in the outfield. I know you want his bat in the lineup. He's the DH. You got to find other ways to use your players by not risking injury for him in the outfield.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me because the way this team is set up, it's like, how are you going to get Schwarber in the game? I mean, you just traded for this guy. Now you're not going to use him because you don't want to use JD in the outfield. I mean, this is go time, right? I mean, it's not like it's April. I mean, this is the end of the season. This is like, you got to do everything you can. I certainly understand what you're saying though. It is dangerous for them to be doing this. It certainly doesn't seem like it's helping them. It's not like JD's making spectacular plays out there. It certainly is dangerous. But it just kind of reinforces that Schwarber was not a great fit for this team.
There's nowhere to put him.
All right, well, that brings me to my unpopular opinion, which is, you know, I know a lot of people didn't like the fact that Kevin Plawecki was the DH on Wednesday. Why not just start him at catcher? Christian Vasquez has had a terrible season at the plate. Neither one of them is throwing out base runners. I mean, the Yankees are just swiping bags left and right. They had 4 stolen bases off them in the last 16 innings. So why not just start Plawecki at catcher? Well, the reason is Vasquez has actually had kind of an amazing season on defense, not exactly throwing guys out, but calling games. I mean, look how good the starting pitching has been over the last 2 weeks with Vasquez starting most of these games. This year, the Red Sox have an ERA about a full half run lower when Christian Vasquez is at the plate, behind the plate, 4.19 ERA compared to a 4.66 ERA with Kevin Plawecki. I believe in that stuff. I always have. I think, you know, usually pitchers will tell you by the numbers which catcher they'd rather be thrown to. Calling a game is a difficult thing. And I know Vasquez isn't hitting, but if Kevin Plawecki needs to be your DH to keep your offense alive, something's wrong there. I understand he's taking good at-bats. Let's have him off the bench, come off the bench in the seventh inning in a key spot in the game like he's been doing previously. He doesn't need to start as your DH or take over for Vasquez. Vasquez is doing a great job behind the plate calling games. The starting pitching's been, for the most part, pretty good. So you need to figure out this offense elsewhere. You know, you got to get guys right. Alex Verdugo needs to step it up. He's been terrible, really, for the last couple months. you know, Kike Hernandez hasn't been hitting lefties all of a sudden, which is weird. Other guys need to step up. I don't think you need to have Kevin Bwecki taking Christian Vasquez's at-bats.
No, I'm right there with you. I feel like I can't even – I have no rebuttal just because it's like you hit it on the head. I don't have anything to add at all. Like, hard agree. I think that's the first time that's really ever happened, but very hard agree on that one.
All right. Well, I will give you my positive takeaway first. And this is a guy we've spent a lot of time talking about how bad he's been all year, but Garrett Richards actually looked great on Wednesday coming out of the bullpen. 4 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. And to me, the biggest difference with Richards was he was using his splitter a lot. This is a pitch he really didn't throw at all. He said he taught himself a changeup after the sticky substance ban. And he's using this pitch all of a sudden, and the Yankees didn't know what to do with it. You know, he's throwing 96, 97 up there with a fastball, and then he throws a changeup like 89, 91, 92. It's weird. And it was working. And so if this is who he's going to be, just a 3-pitch pitcher out of the bullpen with a fastball, a changeup split thingy, and a slider, hey, maybe this is going to work. You know, I mean, look better than Pivetta did. That's for sure. You know, Martin Perez is at this point just looks like a left-handed specialist. So maybe Garrett Richards is a decent long man out of relief. We'll see.
This makes me really happy because I've been calling for him to go to the bullpen. I wanted him so badly in that bullpen. And it seems like a really good fit. It's two relief outings out of the bullpen so far, and they've both been really good. And I like what I've seen. I know that, you know, it could unfold at any moment, but for right now, he really kind of kept that game in check on Wednesday.
All right, what do you got?
So the Red Sox obviously are in a slump. I don't need to tell you that, but they all sound, I mean, Nick Pivetta always sounds very nice post-game. He's very, very polite. I think he's one of the politest players I've ever covered in my career. But Hunter Renfroe is pissed off. And he said that he was like, we're all mad at ourselves. We're all pissed off. And they're ready to move on. And this kind of reminds me of, you know, the Texas Rangers now are coming into Fenway. Not a very good team. And the Red Sox, this is a perfect opportunity, much like when the Orioles came to Fenway, for the Red Sox to kind of get back on track. If they can sweep the Rangers, if they can take 2 out of 3 even, it's going to do a lot. And for the Rangers coming into Fenway against a very angry Red Sox team, against a very hungry Red Sox team, and a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, that's not going to spell good news for the Rangers, plus Chris Sale's on the mound. You probably have your 3 best pitchers going in Sale, Erod, and Eovaldi this weekend. So it's not looking good for the Rangers, so I'm looking at the positives. Bad team, angry team, that should be a good team. Red Sox are home. So this is a perfect time for the Red Sox, like I said, to either take 2 out of 3 or sweep and just kind of start to right the ship here.
Yeah, there's no question. It's not, the season's not over by any means. I mean, there's just too many easy wins on this schedule. They just got to figure it out. They got to get the offense going. They got to figure out what the lineup's going to look like. Is Kyle Schwarber going to play first base? Is Bobby Dalbec going to continue getting all the at-bats there? What's going to happen when Christian Arroyo comes back? How long can JD actually play the outfield? There's a lot to figure out, and that's what they need to do in these games against some bad teams is, yeah, win the game, but let's figure out what the optimal lineup's going to be. Let's figure out what the plate approach is going to be. So there will be a lot to keep an eye on in the coming days. We'll have you covered, as always, in the Locked On podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMasterDonato, or read my stuff in the Boston Herald.
And I am at LaLaLaLauren, 3 Laws, Laurel, 4 Rs, and the Red Sox Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox, and read all my work on Nesson.com.
Yeah, give us a follow on Twitter. Give us the follow on your podcast, wherever you're listening to this. If you follow us or subscribe, it definitely helps. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think and how we could do it better. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day. This episode was brought to you by the Locked On Bets podcast. Betting on the Red Sox doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you can get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.